I think probably on one of the Sundays, I'm going to go America, and we're going to ask her to just stay there. So that as I'm speaking, when I say, and God said, she'll go, bam, bam, bam. And I was walking down Fishponds Road. She'll go, I was, But I think that might be too energetic. If I did that for about 10 minutes, I'll be tired. So I'd have to go to the gym for a few months to prepare for the strength that's required to preach American. Amen. So I think we'll just stick to our normal British style. Amen. All right, welcome. This morning we're starting a new series that we've called The Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Last month we were focusing on the Holy Spirit as well. And last month we looked at the Holy Spirit and your purpose. And what we were saying last month was that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. However, it's not something that we can achieve or fulfill fully in our own strength. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us along the way. So that was what we focused on last week, still, you know, around the Holy Spirit. This month we're looking at a new series that I've called The Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just thinking, what's that word manifestation? Someone has to Google it and tell me what it means. Basically, in my own terms, it's when someone does something through you. Do you get what I mean? When someone does something through you or in you. So the person is manifesting through you. So that's kind of like how I would define it. Now, before I start looking at what I'm going to be talking about today, a lot of the times when we talk about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what comes to our mind, or what comes to my own mind, is prophecy, healing the sick, and all these manifestations of the Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and all those things. So all those things are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want to look at the Holy Spirit from another angle this morning. And the angle that I'm going to be looking at, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is not as it relates to the gifts and the power in that sense, but something that is often overlooked and probably something that oftentimes we're not aware is available to us, this type of manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So today I'm looking at what I've called, still under the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, change to have thriving personal relationships by the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. Change to have thriving personal relationships by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the gist of what I'm going to be talking about today is that the Holy Spirit also helps us to have, well, helps us to participate in relationships which we have every day. I'll look at different types in a moment, in such a way that we can enjoy those relationships and get the benefit of being in those relationships to the fullest as God intended. Now, I'm going to be looking at this in three sections this morning. And what really got me thinking about this was this. It's possible that you're born again, you love God, you read the Bible, and you do all the things that believers do. It's possible that you're in that space, but one's relationship can be in what I'll call, well, let me not say tatters, but one can have relationships that are not fulfilling as a Christian, because we're not applying the power that God has given us in that space. Now, what do I mean by that? So the first point is this. It's possible, like I said, that we're not really experiencing relationships the way we should. Now, when I say relationships, there are different types of relationships that we have. You have, if you're married, there's the marital relationship. There is family relationships, your brothers, your sisters, your siblings. There is your in-laws. There's also relationships within the local church. And I was just thinking last week, I was talking, I went to visit a friend of mine on, I think I've done so many visits, I don't know which one. But basically, we started talking about relationships. And I was now saying that over the past few months, it's been a bit challenging for some people that I know. And I was saying that, look, I have people that we went to secondary school together. These are people that I've known since I was 10 years old, 11 years old. We've grown together. I've seen some of these guys get married. I've seen at the beginning when these guys found their wives and they were so excited. I remember one, he came to me, a good friend of mine, and he said, man, this was like over 20 something years ago. I found this girl that I love, that I want to get married to. And he was super excited about it. And I also have another friend who, the same thing. So we're talking about three people that I know personally that I grew up with. We're talking about marital relationships now. I'll talk about the other ones and how the Holy Spirit really comes to play. Then a few months ago, this guy comes to me and he says he and his wife is going to leave his wife. I said, what are you talking about? You're joking. What happened? And he couldn't really tell me anything reasonable. Nobody had cheated on anybody. There was no adultery. There was no physical abuse. There was no verbal abuse. So I was like, what is the problem? He said, well, he doesn't think he likes her, or and so on and so forth. Same thing happened with another friend of mine. And I now began to think, and I said, look, these guys are Christians. We all have challenges when you're married sometimes. You know, they'll tell you that there are times you wake up and like, man, who is this person beside me? Do I know you? So these things happen. And I began to say, or just began to think, why is this happening in the lives of these folks? Why is it happening? I also look at sometimes church relationships as well. And, you know, I've been a pastor for a few years now, and I've been in church for a few years. And, you know, anywhere where there are human beings, there'll always be misunderstandings. You know, sometimes I will annoy you, sometimes you'll annoy me, but there's a way as believers that we can sort those things out. You know, I can come to you and say, look, you've done this, this, and this, and I can apologize. And we move on. But you realize that there are people sometimes who maybe they get offended and they just leave the local church. You don't hear from them anymore. These are people who might have been in the church with you for years. You guys have shared meals together and they just exit. Why? Because maybe someone offended them, something that could have been resolved. But they're not able to really manage these relationships. Do you understand? And you're now wondering, what is really going on here? Or maybe even in-laws as well. I was talking to someone and this person told me that, well, I mean, I was just looking that they've, let me not even go there. Basically, they had a very bad time with their in-laws. And the conclusion was that their in-laws are evil and they're just not going to have anything to do with them. And I was like, really? But they haven't really done much to you. I mean, these are just people who are trying to. And we're now wondering, why are these relationships falling apart like this? Why? And when you talk with people sometimes, it's like they have good reason. It's like, man, I can't stand these people, or I am, you know, X, Y, and Z. But I'm like, you know, the Bible says this is how we should treat these things. So the big question is this, which is the second thing that I'm going to be looking at. Why do these things happen, or why are they happening? Statistics tells us that the divorce rate amongst Christians is even slightly higher than people who are not Christians in America. I don't know what the statistics here is in the UK. Now, this is, I'm not just here to give us bad news per se. I just want us to have context. Do you get what I mean? So if Christ is in us as he is, why are things falling apart in our relationships? Why are we not able to enjoy what the Bible says we should enjoy? Do you understand what I mean? We'll look at that in a moment. And how the Holy Spirit can really help us. So the second part is, why do these things happen? Why do relationships just fall apart? Why do we sometimes find it difficult to just maintain good relationships as believers? And I'm not talking about people who are not Christians here. And I found two things that contribute very, very immensely to this that as Christians we might not be aware of. Now, the first one is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Two things I found. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that now is now at work in those who are disobedient. So one of the causes of this breakdown in relationships is what the Bible refers to as the spirit of this age working in the minds of people. The spirit of this age. So one of the causes is a spiritual cause. There's a spirit that is walking on the earth. And that spirit works through culture. It works through all sorts of things to educate the minds of people that this is the way things should happen. It tells you that when someone offends you, you should slap them, you should react, and you know, don't let anybody like get away with anything they do to you. Why should you apologize? The spirit of this age tells you that if your husband or your wife, maybe they're having a bad day, they have one or two bad days, divorce them because you are entitled to your freedom. That is the spirit of this age. That's not what the Bible says. Do you understand? The spirit of this age says you should always look out for number one. Why should you care about somebody else? It's you first. Let other people sort themselves out. That is the spirit of this age. That is the spirit of this age. The other thing that really works in the background is us as well. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. It says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this begins, the different interpretations of this. But what this is telling us is that if we let our flesh, the old unregenerated side of us, if we let it have its way in us, that is, each of us have it, then these are the things that we're going to be doing. And it begins to say that all the things that Christ has given us to inherit in this world, this is one view. Happiness in your relationships, peace of mind, all these things that God has given you and I, if we allow our flesh to rule our lives, then we will not get any of those things. Then we will not get any of those things. So the question is this, and which is the third part that I'm looking at. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with all these things that I'm talking about? Of what relevance? What is the business of the Holy Spirit in this? The truth of the matter is this. I have come across people and sometimes I've experienced this in the past as well, where I say, look, when someone annoys me, I'm going to let it go. I'm just going to calm down and just let it pass by. And maybe I do it for the first time, the second time, and the third time, I'm like, maybe I haven't had lunch that afternoon. The third time, I'm like, what? I've had enough of this. I'm not going to tolerate this nonsense anymore. I will not be taken advantage of. And I lose it. So the thing we need to understand here, which is the third part, you can be so determined to do right, but you still do wrong. You can sincerely want to really be better from the depths of your heart, but still end up doing wrong. I've met men who will say, look, I love my wife, I will just make sure that. And at the end of the day, their wife upsets them, they take it for the first time, second time, and they lose it. And they become verbally abusive. Then they go back and they're like, I can't believe that I just said that to my wife. And they're really dejected about it. So they're trying, but they're just, something is stopping them from actually being able to accomplish and maintain those relationships. Do you understand? So this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to change. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to live life in such a way that we can reap the benefits of good relationships. It's Him. So your good intentions and your tenacity, although they're good, without the conscious help of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, it's likely that you revert to your old ways of doing things. Yeah, the old way of doing things. I remember that in the past, a while ago, I'm a relatively easygoing guy. But in those days, if you annoyed me, I might not say anything to you. I might not shout. I might not abuse you. But you can be guaranteed that you will get what is called silent treatment from me. I remember those days, my late wife, she would do some, you know, just maybe upset me a bit, something that, you know, irrelevant. And I'd be like, really? Me, you know, I can't stay in this house talking to myself without talking to anybody for 1 month. I'm a silent treatment champion. Hey, Prince, make sure we edit this out. What? Pastor, silent treatment champion? Oh, yes, I was. So what that meant was this. Okay. You know, as a Christian, you can't be abusive and all those things, but come on. How are you doing? Fine. So how about that? I'm busy. I haven't seen you for the past. You've been in your study all day for, yes. Look, I'm busy. I have things to do. Silent treatment. Then I'll come to church. Hey, hello, people. How are you doing? I hope you have been forgiven. I hope you have been cool. I hope that if someone slapped you this week, you have turned the left cheek. If you have not done that, you need to say a big hallelujah. And meanwhile, I'm the perpetrator of aggressive, silent, aggressive behavior. And you know that kind of thing. People can't really say anything. If you're going to report someone that's doing that, what are you going to say? He was quiet. They'll say, yeah, he was quiet. They'll say, did he abuse you? Did he verbally abuse you? No. Was he rude to you? No. Did he shout at you? No. This is the person who's reporting me. Did he? So what's the problem? So as in that craft, you know, I perfected the silent treatment so much that there's no evidence that could be found against me in the court of law. I was an expert. So, but I soon realized that I was allowing my old unregenerated self to take, and I wasn't enjoying the benefits of the relationship. So I had to really step back and say, why am I doing this? What am I benefiting from this? Nothing. What am I benefiting from this? Nothing. And, you know, I did try in those days to try and, you know, just be, you know, speak up a few times then. I'm like, man, I'm not speaking up anymore. I've been speaking up too much. Why? Because I was trying to change myself. So what am I talking about today? How do we now move from the place where we want to enjoy our relationships? We don't want to be doing all these tactical, silent, aggressive, or do you understand what I mean? How do we do that? Well, this is where, again, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes in. How does the Holy Spirit help with all this? And he helps through the fruit of the Spirit. I read a portion of scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So this is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not outwardly walking through us to perform miracles or to do, like, to give us words of wisdom, knowledge, with regards to other people, but the Holy Spirit manifesting in us through his fruit to cause us to come to the place where we're changed supernaturally. So it's not just us working at it with all our strength. I mean, there's a part that we have to play, which we'll look at in a minute, but it's primarily the work of the Holy Spirit in us, manifesting through us to produce fruit in us that affects our character, that affects our temperament, so on and so forth, so that we can be Christ-like, so that when we're engaged in any form or any level of relationship, we are able to be kind, we're able to do these things that really we want to do, so that we can really get the best benefits from this, from our relationships. So I guess the next question now is, from a practical perspective, yes, I've mentioned that there's a fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working through us, but from a practical perspective, how can we live? What is it that we can do to allow the fruit of the Spirit to work through us, to change us? Well, I'm going to outline 5 points this morning that I believe will help us, based on my own experience and based on the light, me seeing this work in the life of other people as well. So I'll outline 5 points, and I think they're really simple things. And as we just engage with these things with the help of the Holy Spirit, I believe that we'll begin to see the fruit of the Spirit, the inward manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, changing us supernaturally, so that it's not just something that we're putting a lot of effort into without seeing like the necessary results. I'm going to run through a number of things that will help us. These are the things that have helped me, so that I'm able to live a stress-free life. Obviously, there are people that you can't force them to be good to you in whatever kind of relationship that you're with, in you're involved in. Maybe they're your friends, your relatives, but you can be good and have a stress-free life. So I'll run through a number of things. So this is the the third section. How does the Holy Spirit help us? If we let him. So the first point is this. I've got a number of points here that I'll run through. So the first point is this. We need to own up. We need to own up. So if you're an angry person, naturally speaking, if you're hot-tempered, if you are unforgiving, if you're the kind of person that keeps grudges, you're not alone. You're not alone. I think all of us keep at different levels. If you are in that category, and I believe all of us are at some point in time, you're not alone. However, the first thing is, you and I need to own up. Psalm 51 verse 4, David said, "Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge." So owning up means being introspective to say, look, I am an angry person. I'm going to stop saying this person was the one that made me angry. That is why I reacted the way I did. If they hadn't spoken to me that way, I wouldn't have been so annoyed. Really. God says, you have to own up and say, look, this is the kind of person that I am. So that's the first thing, admitting where we are so that we can move forward. If you keep malice or you get offended easily, it's not a problem. But the first step is owning up. I'm just saying, I'm sounding like one of these AA alcoholic programs where they're saying, you have to. That's not the intention. But the first thing is you need to own up. I need to own up. So I had to come to the place where I said, you know, this is wrong. The way I apply this silent treatment thing is just totally wrong. You know? Is nobody's fault at all. It's my fault because I can respond differently. So the first thing we do is to own up. The second thing is to make a conscious decision that we will not follow popular culture. We will not follow anything that we have learned growing up that is contrary to what the Bible says in terms of relationships. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Romans 12, verse 2. So that means that if popular culture says, don't tolerate nonsense from anyone, you should not let anyone, you know, you're not a fool. If someone offends you, then you should get them back. If someone is rude to you, or if someone doesn't treat you properly, then you should get them back. You're not a, you know, you're not a doormat. So, well, I mean, you should. God says forgive. So the second thing we need to also do is to determine in our hearts that irrespective of how I feel, irrespective of what my opinion is, irrespective of what popular culture says, I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to treat my husband, my wife, my friends the way God says I should treat them, irrespective of how they behave towards me, irrespective of what popular culture says. I will make up my mind to follow what God says in every circumstance. But don't stop there, because you can make that decision but still not follow through. But we need to make that decision consciously, which is the second point. The third point, I have 5 points, is to also make a decision to follow the way of love. Now, when I'm talking about love, I'm talking about love as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. It's not an emotional kind of love. Do you understand? It's not an emotional, I'm not talking about that kind of love. The kind of love I'm talking about, I'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 7. It says, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So if you have a book that you keep records of wrong, touch it up tonight when you get home. And if it's not on paper and you've got it on your iPad in memory, delete it. It says, keeps no record of wrong. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres. So what this means is that every time we have the opportunity to be unkind, it says, choose kindness. Every time we have the opportunity to delight in evil, as in, yes, that person did that to me, good for them. Now, some people will say, karma. We don't believe in karma anyway. Some people say, karma has caught up with them. But I didn't do anything, you know, I've been nice to them, but yes, you can't do all those things. It says, follow the way of love, a decision. It says, follow the way of love. So that's the third one. The fourth thing that we'll look at is this. We need to allow the Word of God to transform us. To really, really transform us. And I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the fourth point is this. The Bible says, as we behold the face of the glory of the Lord, we are changed. Now, how do we behold the glory of the Lord? In simple terms, it means as we make a commitment to study our Bibles and to spend time just praying to God, something begins to take place in us. It says we are beholding his glory. We are beholding him on a daily basis. And as you behold him that way, as you read the Bible as if it's God speaking to you, as you really tell God what's on your heart, on a daily basis, something begins to happen to you. It says you begin to change. And the last point that I'll look at is this. We need to also trust that as we do these things, that the Holy Spirit will give us the power to change. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says something. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we looked at five things that the Holy Spirit, that we need to do to allow the Holy Spirit to help us in our relationships. One, own up. Number two, make a conscious decision that we will not follow the opinions of popular culture. Number three, we decide to follow the way of love, not the emotional kind of love, but choosing what the Bible calls love, as we looked at in Corinthians. The fourth is really spending time with God and allowing God to change us with his word. It says, as we behold his face, as we behold his glory, then we will become transformed to be like him. And the last one is really trusting in the Holy Spirit, that he will change you, that he will give you the ability to enjoy better relationships. Do you understand? Because at the end of the day, it's the relationships that we encounter that really makes our lives the way we are. We're all here today because of relationship. We have relationship with Christ and with one another. That's why we're here. Do you understand? God wants us to to really thrive in our relationships. And I believe that that's what He's asking me to relate to us this morning. That the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not just in power, but in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd just like us to rise this morning and pray. So this morning, I think what I've spoken about is not groundbreaking. I think it's something that we all encounter on a daily basis. But I just want us to pray this morning that God would help us to change by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can enjoy the relationships that we are involved in, our friends, our spouses, our in-laws. We might say, well, how about if I change and the other person is not interested in changing? Well, that doesn't really matter. Well, it matters, but God wants you to start with you first. Then He can deal with the other person, but He wants you to start with you. So this morning, let's just pray and just say, God, help me. In the areas where I should have chosen love, in the areas where I should have been more patient, and that I have not chosen those things, help me. Transform me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me. We'll just pray that.